This is Trevor.
This is Braden.
And this is Johnny.
And this is our Richard Nixon Checker Speech podcast. All right, Braden, what's the first thing we're going to address?
Okay, the first thing that we're going to talk about today is logos. Now, logos is a big thing for Richard Nixon in this speech. A good speech uses every tool it can without compromising its message or clarity. There are elements of logos in Section 1 of the speech. Nixon provides evidence from an impartial audit by Pricewaterhouse and a prestigious law firm. He argues that the fund was neither secret nor illegal, and that the fund existed solely to remove a financial burden from taxpayers. This is a quote from the speech. It is our conclusion that Senator Nixon did not obtain any financial gain from the collection and disturbment of funds by Dana Smith, that Senator Nixon did not violate any federal or state law by reason of the operation of the fund, and that neither of the portion of the fund paid by Dana Smith directly to third persons nor the portion paid to Senator Nixon to reimburse him for office expenses constituted income within a sense which was either reportable or taxable as income under income tax laws. So, Trevor, what's next?
All right, so I'm going to be talking about the ethos in this speech. And so this is, you're going to be on the pathos of Checkers next. That's what Johnny's going to be up to, but I'm going to be doing the ethos. There are elements of ethos in Section 1 and 2 of the speech, and so we're going to look at them first. Nixon establishes the bona fides of the accounting and legal firms that he's asked to review the legality of the fund. This is a quote from the speech. It is an audit made by Pricewaterhouse and Co. firm that the legal opinion by Gibson, Dunn, and Crutcher, lawyers in Los Angeles, the biggest law firm and incidentally one of the best ones in Los Angeles. They're one of the best ones in Los Angeles, but that's not like a proven fact or anything. He establishes his own credit as a boy from like good beginnings who worked hard through like law school and college, married a good woman and served the country and all that. And here's another quote from the speech that I'm going to read. Let me say that my service record was not a particularly unusual one. I went to the South Pacific. I guess I'm entitled to a couple of battle stars. I got a couple of letters of commendation, but I was just there when the bombs were falling. Who would want to put themselves in harm's way for the country to, like, cheating the good out of people of said country? All right, Johnny.
All right, so I'm going to be talking about how pathos was used in this speech. Well, they say that this speech is the poster child of emotion.
You all studying or anything? Because we just saw you climbing up on the table, so if you're not actually studying or anything, we're going to need you to clear out.
He was just goofing around. I was recording while he was doing that.
So today we're learning about Okay, so before we were rudely interrupted, I was talking about pathos. This speech is the poster child of emotional appeals in American political history. First, we have a look at the pathos that he used when he said, "We had a rather difficult time after we were married, like so many of the young couples who might be listening to us." And then he also said, "I have just $4,000 in life insurance, plus my GI policy, which I have never been able to convert, and which will run out of in 2 years. He even pays 4% interest on a loan his parents gave him because they worked so hard for the money themselves. He also reads a letter saying, "A man down in Texas heard Pat on the radio mention that our two youngsters would like to have a dog. And believe it or not, the day we left before this campaign trip, we got a message from Union Station in Baltimore saying they had a package for us. We went down to get..." Sorry, my page has... just tripped out, man. Yeah. Okay, tripped out. So, Okay, so where I was at? We went down to get it. You know what it was? It was a little Cocker Spaniel dog in a crate that he had sent all the way from Texas, black and white, spotted, and our little girl, Tricia, the six-year-old, named it Checkers. And you know the kids, like all kids, love the dog. And I just want to say this right now, that regardless of what they say about it, we are going to keep it. You can tell how much pathos is used in here.
Now, the next thing that we want to talk about is the title. And the title is actually a matter of some contention. While the majority of the planet recognizes this speech as the Checker speech, named after the lovable pup that we just talked about, and his political allies knew it by a different name, the Fun speech, Nixon didn't care for the Checker speech as it highlighted the sappy and overly dramatic aspects of the speech, referring to it as the Fun speech focused on the issue of the false allegation. Sorry, Nixon, we're going to have to go with Checkers on this one.
Okay, so my next topic is going to be about the opening lines of the Checker speech. Now, these are the opening lines that are in the speech. My fellow Americans, I come before you tonight as a candidate for the vice presidency and as a man whose honesty and integrity has been questioned. Like, as I said, the opening lines are a warm-up. He's setting you up for, like, a switch around, explaining how the political establishment is, like, that group of people enjoys mudslinging, which is telling lies and which is getting confused with other things, such as him stealing money, him getting given money, and not doing what he should as his presidency. And so everyone calls him like the man of integrity, and he thinks that America deserves something more from the representatives.
Now I'm going to be talking about the closing lines of the speech. In the last words of the speech, Nixon quoted, but let me just say this last word. Regardless of what happens, I'm going to continue this fight. I'm going to campaign up and down America until we drive the crooks and the communists and those that defend them out of Washington. And remember, folks, Eisenhower is a great man. Folks, he's a great man. And a vote for Eisenhower is a vote for what is good for America. If you watch the speech, you'll notice that Nixon is actually cut off towards the end. He ran over the 30 minutes that the network allotted him, and they switched to other programmings in the middle of his endorsement of Eisenhower. Nixon had mixed feelings about Eisenhower personally at this point because hadn't come to his defense about the secret fund allegations. Plus, he knew that Eisenhower had strongly hinted that Nixon should resign from the ticket at the end of the speech. Praising Ike was a savvy political move disguised as a righteous show of support for Eisenhower and anti-communism.
Okay, so that was Trevor, Johnny, and Braden, and this was our last words on our podcast on Richard Nixon's Checkers speech.
Oh, yeah.